Blog Talk Radio
presents the Plause Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight I am so excited. I'm a huge fan of West Side Story, and I don't know who isn't. I mean, it's the best play ever and best movie ever. So I've never seen the actual live Broadway, but the movie was good enough for me, and I'm sure the play was amazing. So we have tonight with us George Chakiris, who played Bernardo in West Side Story. And George is a triple threat. He's a singer, dancer, actor, and he is just amazing. So before we start, we have George on the line, but let me just say thank you to our sponsors real quick. The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWB Wines in South Africa, The Observer newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, and let's pick somebody. The Big Think Big Picture LLC in New York. I have a long list, George, and it's like I got to get a loop running because I have to read too many. So, Mr. Chakiris, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining me. It is an absolute pleasure and honor to be speaking to you today. Thank you so much.
Well, it's mutual. I look forward to talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as I mentioned, I love the movie West Side Story, and I never saw it live on Broadway. And you would think I would. I only live like 20 minutes away from New York, and I mean, I can't believe I've never seen it. So I just want to ask you, would you say that the photo with you and Rosemary Clooney from Loved It and Do Right by Me was what really got you noticed, or?
Well, actually, it did. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, you know, I've been, of course, answering movie musicals like General for Blondes and, of course, White Christmas, too. But in the others, that we were always in sort of large groups of like 10 or 12 or 16 dancers in the scene. But in the number with Rosie, there were just four of us. So we were more visible, and we all got lots more attention because of that.
Right. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, how old were you when that happened?
Let's see. Maybe 22, I'm guessing.
Wow.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Wow.
So first of all, it was lovely to work on that movie altogether. All the kids loved working for Robert Alton, who was the choreographer for that movie. And and Rosie, as you can tell from seeing her movie, you can see what a lovely person she is. So it was just a great time for everybody.
Right. Well, you were and still are amazingly handsome. And I pegged you in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. And and that was another great movie, my God. Now, I wanted to ask you, I'm just curious. Now, you were in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. So, not Diamonds Are a Girl,
yes.
I'm sorry, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. So now when Madonna came out with her video Material Girl and tried to do a take on it, what did you think of that? I mean, what was your opinion on that?
Well, looking back, I guess I kind of liked I appreciate the influence. I was glad that Madonna was taken by what Marilyn Monroe did. And but Madonna, of course, was promoting a record, so the production values and what she did, of course, were very different. But nevertheless, I think it showed how much she admired Marilyn Monroe, and I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job on it. I was just curious, since you were in the movie, what your take was on it. That's all. Yeah, because I thought she did a pretty decent job on it, too. So, and I got to ask you something. Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you were speaking, and I didn't want to cut you off. I apologize.
Oh.
Now, is it true? I remember when I was younger hearing this, other than Rita Moreno, was she the only Puerto Rican that was actually in the movie?
No, there were other Latin guys and girls, of course. Rita was not the only one. I think that, I don't know how that's come to be such a prominent thing, but no, it's not correct. We had a number of Hispanic, I'll say, cast members, and, you know, we all had a great time together.
Of course. No, when I was younger, I heard that was, you know, the rumor going around that no one was actually Hispanic or Puerto Rican in the actual film. So I you know, I was like, oh wow, how amazing that was. And but you're not Hispanic, but you look a little darker skinned because of your Greek ethnicity. You know, you were a little darker.
I'm as pale as the next person, but I am of Greek descent. And by the way, when these days, when people start talking about Hispanic and who's Hispanic and who isn't and that sort, and casting, a couple of things come to mind, and that is casting in films has always been open borders, I'll say. For example, Anthony Quinn, a Mexican actor who played the Greek in Zorba the Greek, and what could be better? He was so fantastic. Who could be better? And also in Schindler's List, Steven Spielberg's movie Schindler's List, the two main Jewish characters are not played by Jewish actors.
Exactly.
I just raised this point just so that everybody can appreciate that casting doesn't have to be zeroed down to who's actually this or that. You know, it's an artistic choice that people make.
Right, it's more of artistic than authenticity, because the artistry of it makes it authentic. So, you know,
yes.
Now, you originally played Riff in the London production. Am I correct or no?
That's right. And there you go. See, people, you know, for the longest time, for really quite the longest time, everybody thought I was Puerto Rican. United Artists, after I think it was maybe the third or fourth anniversary of the movie being premiered, sent me on a tour of some European cities. And one of the cities I went to was Madrid. And there was this beautiful, lovely, older woman. She was pretty old, I think. And she couldn't wait to meet Bernardo. I mean, she didn't know who I was, but she knew who Bernardo was. My point is that people respond to what the characters that they see, and also the fact that I played Riff before I did anything else shows how wide and how permissible casting is and should be. You know.
Right. Well, did you help Russ Tamblyn out? Did you give him any advice when he was playing the role of Riff?
No, I tell you, Russ is such a consummate professional person. He didn't need any advice from me. He didn't ask. But Russ and I and his wife, Bonnie, we're all great friends today. So I've known Russ for a long time. But I mean, he never asked me for any kind of advice because, you know, he didn't need it at all.
Right. Well, I have one more question for you. I think we may have a... No, we don't. I'm sorry. I thought we had a caller on the line. I apologize. We don't. I had a question for you, too, about is it true that West Side Story was originally called East Side Story and was supposed to be Catholics versus Jews instead of Americans versus Hispanics?
Yes. Before it settled down into Puerto Ricans and so on, it was. They thought of it that way and worked on it that way for a while, and ultimately they decided to go deeper than that, I'll say. My understanding is that Jerry and Arthur Lawrence and Stephen Tonham and Leonard Bernstein all were in that same ballpark, but moved on to what they thought was a better way, and I think they were right. I think it was a better way.
Hmm. Wow, wow. So what was the last movie where you actually were doing full-fledged dancing? And I mean, are you still dancing? I know you're a little older now. So, I mean, are you still dancing heavily? How into it are you these days?
I'll tell you, I'm not into it in any way, shape, or form the way I have been over the years. Traveling and so on, every time I was away and I'd stop taking class, then I'd come back and I'd take class. But little by little, my habits, without realizing it, just changed. And to make a long story short, the way I deal with exercise now is I wish it was taking a dance class because there's nothing better. But what I've done in this place is I go to the gym. I have my own routine, but I end my routine with what I call dance stretches and exercises that I've learned from taking dance class. And it's a wonderful combination of exercise, the gym, and the dance exercises. But I haven't been in a dance class for too long, I'm afraid.
And did you teach dance as well, George, when you were actively dancing, or?
No, it never occurred to me to teach. You know, I know that it's kind of a natural kind of flow of things. If someone has been a dancer, sometimes later they will think perhaps being a teacher is a good thing to do. I never thought of that because teaching itself is a very specific occupation, and you really need to be qualified in anything to be able to teach. And even though I had a dance background, I wouldn't have considered myself qualified enough to actually teach other people.
Wow. Well, I think you're more than qualified to do a lot of things in the entertainment industry. My goodness. Now, Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, just thinking about that, I probably could have taught something to some degree, but for ballet technique, which is the technique that mattered most to me and to most serious dancers, ballet technique is what we care deeply about. But it's a very difficult, complicated thing to learn, and it's not easy to pass on to other people. That's why I didn't think myself as good as I should have been to be able to actually teach ballet. That's what I always thought about in terms of what's important for a dancer.
Well, congratulations also on getting your star on the Walk of Fame in front of by Grauman's.
Yes, Rita, I don't have a star on the Walk of Fame, but Rita and Russ and I've lost track of time, a few years ago did bore our hands and footprints in the forecourt of Grauman's Chinese Theater, and that was, we all absolutely loved that, and we did it together, which made it much more beautiful.
Oh, nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, unfortunately, I've never been to Hollywood, so I'm confused with the Walk of Fame for the star and the footprints and handprints, so I apologize for that. I knew you got your footprints and handprints, but I didn't know if you got the star, too. I thought it was a combination of the two. I guess when I go out there, finally, I'll find out. So.
Well, you know, it's so easy to think of those things at the same time because they're kind of in the same ballpark. And I could very easily make that, I won't say mistake, but I could be confused by that myself, you know. So you don't need just to know all of that.
Well, when I do go, I'm definitely going to stop by and see your fingerprints, your handprints and footprints.
Yeah,
somebody else has your fingerprints.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was joking. I said someone else has your fingerprints, like the police. I was kidding. Oh my goodness! What is this about the your jewelry? What were you doing with jewelry?
Well, I totally lost track of time. I always do, but some years ago, probably at least 20 years or so, somehow I thought of jewelry and then as a hobby. And there's a wonderful school here in Los Angeles called Bonsall, in which they teach sculpting, painting, jewelry making, all those things. And I decided to go there and to learn something about jewelry making. And once I did that and I was in classes with other people and so on, I guess you could say I was kind of hooked, so to speak. I really fell in love with the idea of making things. And I became very familiar with the jewelry district downtown Los Angeles. I learned a lot. I learned how to solder and all the technical aspect of jewelry making. And so I was able to create my own pieces. And I have such a great – I have a freestanding garage here by the house that it is a studio that I work in, and it's that's been a great asset. But it's a very gratifying thing to be able to do.
And you're still doing it.
I'm still doing it, not at the same pace, but I don't create pieces very often today. I still have quite a few things that have never gotten onto the website, so I have a backlog of pieces, and because of that, I'm not in a hurry to keep making new pieces, but I do once in a while do that.
And I'm sure they're beautiful. And where can people see your jewelry, George?
Well, worldwide, it's available on my website, georgechakiris.com. And if you live in Tokyo, you can go to the Mitsukoshi department store. I have a Japanese distributor, and he sells my things in that particular department store in Tokyo.
Mm. Very nice. I'm going to have to go to the website and check it out and see. I can't wait to see it. So why now, after all this time, did you put out the book My West Side Story, your memoir?
Well, you know, I have Lindsay Harrison, who wrote the book with me, is a good friend, and we talked about it off and on for quite some time. She also did Tippi Hedren's book, and I know Tippi. It just sort of was a natural involvement, so to speak, talking about what about this, what about that. And finally I thought, well, yes, what a lovely idea. I'd love to do that, especially with Lindsay, and that's what happened. I've done the book with Lindsay, and she's been incredible.
Wow. So tell us about the memoir. It basically touches on how you got started, obviously, and
well, yeah, it's hard not to go back to the beginning, so to speak. I don't
remember right.
My childhood or all that kind of stuff. But the thing that I loved about doing the memoir, because it reminded me of all the nice things that have happened to me and all the wonderful people I've gotten to know and to work with. And that's the beauty of to me, because it's ultimately, I think it's all about people and how we respond to people and how people influence us and how it's relationships, how important relationships are. But again, the main thing for me was I was reminded by doing the book with Lindsay of how lucky I've been in so many nice ways. So it was that aspect that made me want to sort of pass it on, so to speak.
And so when you were growing up in Ohio, did you stand out, or were you a shy guy, and like, what made you say, I want to be an entertainer? I mean, in your middle of Ohio, I mean, you don't have any really major entertainment out there like New York or anything. So what drove you?
Well, as a kid, I didn't have access to theater. I didn't know what theater was. But of course, like a lot of kids, we saw movies. And I especially loved movie musicals. And so I was, and I had I have a sister who's just a little bit older than me, and we both had a natural gift for movement. We were both musical, so to speak. So, but it wasn't until I was in high school in Long Beach, California, a girl I was in school with was in fact a dancer, and her partner was going into the military, so she needed someone to dance with her. She asked me, and I learned some routines with her. We did them at high school assemblies, and that was so amazing to me to actually be in front of an audience, a high school audience, but it didn't matter. It was still an extraordinary experience to me.
Yeah.
And that her name was Joan Scanlon. And Joan also, she's the one who told me about the school here in Los Angeles called the American School of Dance. And she said, she told me, Leslie Caron takes class there, Sid Charisse takes class. And, well, that's all I had to hear. Before I finally started taking class there myself, and then started meeting professional dancers who were already working, and that's kind of how it evolved. But I always, in the back of my heart and mind, I was really in love with, I'll say in quotes, that world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever work with Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly?
Yes, I worked with Gene a couple of times. I was in the chorus of Brigadoon.
Oh.
And then... and you can see me. Well, you really can't see in a crowd scene. You have a hard time finding me, but I was there in the back somewhere. That was in the 50s, and then in 1966, Jean and I were both in a French musical called The Young Girls of Rochefort. We didn't have any scenes together in the movie, but we were in France working on this movie together, so I got to be around him in a different kind of way, and it was wonderful to be around him in any way. You know, he was such a pioneer in movie musicals. And that's Jacques Demy, who produced and directed and wrote The Young Girls of Rochefort, especially wanted Jean on his movie because of Jean's extraordinary place in history.
Wow, you definitely have had an amazing life, my friend. My goodness, what an amazing career too. My goodness, I can't even imagine it. Oh, you do one thing and it turned into everything else, right? Amazing.
Yes, things. I had occasional little spurts of luck along the way that kept me floating, I'll say, until before West Side Story. But of course, West Side Story was a serious change in everything. I wasn't professional enough to really appreciate what it was, but it all felt extraordinary, of course, and it really did open so many doors for me. You know, thanks to Jerry Robinson.
Sure. Well, you won the Oscar. You won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. So, I mean, you know what happens when you win an Oscar. Everybody wants you after that.
Well, I'll tell you, playing Bernardo, I love playing Riffs in the theater. I really loved it. But playing Bernardo in the film is a wonderful role because it's as an actor, he's a character that I can deeply care about, and I think audiences can respond to plight, I'll say, of Bernardo and the Puerto Ricans in the film. So because of prejudice and so on, people can respond to that part of the story. So it was an incredibly successful film for everybody. So we all benefited from that, and then just being able to play Bernardo put me into that category that year with those amazing actors. It was wild.
Yeah. I got to get this off my chest. A boy like that, your brother. I had to get it off my chest. I'm sorry.
Oh, God, yes.
I know. I apologize. I've got music Tourette's, and that's been in my head for the last few days, and it's driving me crazy. A boy like that, he killed your brother.
Yes. One
just
of your
a
own
fabulous
songs.
Movie.
The song says it. Even she says it. Even Anita says it to Maria. Of one of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. And don't. Yeah, even Anita is without realizing it. She's protecting Maria, but she's saying, don't go to the other side. They won't treat you well. Stay with us, you know? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and not, you know, it's sad because that has not changed much, you know? And I mean, I felt like there was a time when people were getting along better, and now it's you know, everybody, there's so much racial tension. It's ridiculous. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
It does seem we're going through a time where it's not getting better. It has gotten, in my opinion, too. I feel the same way that you do. I'm really concerned about everything that's going on right now. It's hard not to be concerned, you know.
Yes. Well, you know what? Any friend of mine that has any problems, please come to me because I will not allow it ever. Be kind, people. You know, you're no better than anybody else, really. I mean, you know, everybody's trying to do them, you know? So I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Well, have you ever written a script or a musical yourself, George?
No, I haven't. I've never even thought about it. It It's so interesting because you say that, and that means material, because the hardest thing, the most difficult thing for almost anybody to try to find is good material, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
But and that makes me think, well, why didn't you write? Why didn't you get involved with the writer? But it never occurred to me that I could, if I ever did.
No, I just figured since you love the Broadway and musicals so much that maybe that you had considered it in your career. But, I mean, hey, somebody else could have written it. You could have just came up with the idea, you know. And then you could have the leading role.
you're absolutely right. There's that, and that's someone who's smarter might have done that, but I didn't think of it. So.
Oh, goodness. Well, there's still time. There's still time. You're not going anywhere.
No, not as far as I know.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I believe Rita Moreno, she loved the book, and she said, we'll savor the Greek boy in America who did well.
You know, she was good enough to, she was going to write the foreword for the book for me. And,
nice.
I mean, I appreciate that. So it altered, I mean, it turned out that there was, because of the publishers and the way they shaped the book, that there was no foreword, but they Rita allowed them to use what you just heard her quoted as associated with the book, and so it's been a great help from Rita, and just incredibly kind of her to do it, you know.
I love her too. I really do. She's amazing. She's still doing everything too. I mean, well, not dancing as much, but she's still out there acting and everything. I think she just had a show on.
She had a sitcom out.
I don't remember the name of it.
You mean the sitcom that she was doing?
Yes, I don't remember the name of it. I saw it briefly.
I think it was Norman Lear. Norman, one of the great producers of all time, Norman Lear. And I think it was called One Day at a Time, I think.
Oh, right. She did. They did the new version. Correct. Yes. That's what I saw her in. Yep. And it was pretty good. I saw a little bit of it. Yeah. I watch a lot of stuff, and I forget a lot of things, too. So, yeah, I'm losing my mind these days, too. So, I don't know. I'm surprised I'm remembering everything that we're talking about. But I wanted to ask you about, when you did, was there a time that you were going to give up or no? You just kept pushing.
No, giving up never occurred to me. Never thought about it. Some people say it was not an option. It was never a thought. I never thought of giving up, but things do change with time. And your circumstances alters some. I mean, because when you're no longer people, if they're going to think of you at all with time, they'll have to think of you differently and cast you differently if they think of you. But giving up in anything. Just so far, that's never occurred to me. Never. Rita just, she keeps moving. It
keeps going. Yep. No, I mean, when you were younger, when you were waiting to get that big break, were you ever considerately, oh, man, why am I doing this? I mean, is it worth it? I mean,
I honestly never thought of that. There were enough nice things that happened along the way so I was never discouraged, ever.
Good for you.
Something good, even if it was very small, kept me going. But also, I think even if it hadn't, I think I would have kept going anyway, just because it was what I always wanted to do and loved the idea of doing.
Your parents must have been so proud of you.
Oh, God. Well, my parents, of course, were really proud of my father, my mother, absolutely. But my father, for some reason, it went further with him. And I was so glad that he could have that, you know. That was one of the things that made me feel best, was what they felt.
Right. Did you have a struggling upbringing financially, or you know, in that, or
well,
no, everything was pretty good.
You know, as a kid, because I was in a beautiful family, my parents were the most wonderful people in the world. I mean, I could go on and on about my parents and how lucky my brothers and sisters and I were lucky to be born to them. And of course, they worked hard. They were not rich people by any stretch. But as a kid, you don't notice those things. I did notice the struggle for for money, so to speak, later when I was having to work and fend for myself. Then I noticed the difference of that money has, or if you don't have it. That's when I noticed financial things. But as a kid, because we were so beautifully taken care of by these wonderful parents, if we were poor, I could look at it now and see that. But at the time, it never felt that way. I was safe. We were all safe. We were loved, and we were happy and secure.
Wonderful. Now, the reason I ask is sometimes people's talent is driven by just doing better in life to make their family happy because of the struggle. You know what I'm saying? I thought maybe that might have been your drive.
Yeah, it wasn't. But you know, that brings to mind, I've heard so many kids over the years say, they were so impressed that my family was totally behind me, whatever one wanted to do. Because so often, you know, kids, their family is not behind them. Well, why do you want to do that? It's so difficult. Why go there? But that was never the case in my family. My family was behind me and supportive of all of us all the time.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, really, thank goodness. That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank goodness for that. Because, I mean, we've had some people on the show here where, you know, they grew up in the Midwest or in wherever, and, you know, it was like their family's like, don't go, it's not going to happen, you'll never succeed, and, you know, they made it happen, and that could be the worst thing to tell somebody, depending on the person, is you're not going to succeed, because that makes you do it. It makes you do it more. Well, that's my opinion anyway, but... So can you share a little bit about the book? Can you give us a little excerpt without giving too much away?
The book is really my working, not just my working experience, my family, my life, my work. But the thing that I noticed myself in the book is how lucky I've been here and there along the way. And look, just talking to you, think about how lucky I am at this moment that you're even bothering to talk to me, you know? That's lucky.
I'm the lucky one. Wait a minute. I'm the lucky one. You better reverse that, mister. I'm the lucky one here. Thank you.
But I'm lucky, too. The fact that there's a remnant of interest is really great good fortune. I'm so grateful for it. But so that's, to me, that's the main thing that it comes to mind when I think about the book, without thinking about it, it has sustained me over time as well. Again, just the great, there's, I'm sorry, I'm starting to stutter. I better take a breath. the main thing that I'm not sure what somebody can walk away with reading my book, but the thing that comes to my mind was there were difficult things, of course, but the main thing was how I got to do what I dreamed about doing when I was a kid. I mean, how often does that happen to anybody?
Right.
And how lucky, and ultimately all of us, any of us, Rita, me, who were in the film version of West Side Story. That film was such an incredible success worldwide that we we've all benefited from that, and we continue to benefit from it. So I think any of us who did benefit from that owe a huge debt of gratitude to the people who created this piece. Jerry Robbins, Arthur Lawrence, Stephen Sondheim, Leonard Bernstein. We owe them an endless debt because they started it. They made it happen.
Right. And it sat on the shelf for a long time, right? Before they even because it came. There were so many different versions of it, and then they finally went back to it and changed the name and the storyline and everything. So, and I think it's for like almost 5 years, I think, before they actually went down and put it together.
It took a while to put it all together. Of course, it took some years and persistent and while they were working on other projects at the same time. But I think of Jerry Robbins as being the driving force, basically, behind it. I'm not sure if that's correct, but that's something I've always felt. And also, to me, There are two things that are really sort of the passion of West Side Story in the theater and the film. It's the Leonard Bernstein score, which is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Robbins' work as a choreographer and his passion. Those are the things that I think are the key factors that elevated this piece to where it eventually got.
Well, the acting was a major role in that too. I mean, yes, you could have a great script, but if you don't have a good actor to pull it off, forget it.
No, you're absolutely right about all of these other aspects. Of course, the script and the performances of everybody in it. Everybody came to it with such love and excitement and a deeper sense of caring that I had recalled in anything happening. And I think that was Jerry Robbins. Jerome Robbins was an inspirational figure. But you're absolutely right. Everybody who was connected with it in any way brought to it the best of themselves.
Right. And you guys were so young at the time. I mean, Natalie Wood was so young too.
Natalie was 23.
Yeah.
23. Yeah. And she was a truly beautiful young woman, and she was already a major movie star, and she was a lot of professional actress, because she starred when she was really a kid.
Yeah. A child.
So Natalie
yeah.
was, yeah, and she was darling, gregarious, very friendly, all of the nice things you could think of saying about someone that really are true of her. And one of the things that I love about Natalie in West Side Story, in anything I see her in, is what I call her personal quality that makes us like her more than we might someone else because of her personal quality. I think that's what kind of someone like Audrey Hepburn, for example. I think in my mind, one of the reasons I respond to her the way I do is because of her personal quality. Those are the words I like to use. Of course, her talent, of course, but there's something about her that is beyond talent, you know.
Right, and she wasn't bad on the eyes either.
Oh my God! Oh my God! So beautiful, yeah. So, yes.
Yeah. What a shame! What a shame! Tragic, tragic, tragic. Could you imagine what she'd be still doing today? Oh my goodness! What she could have done, I should say.
Well, what you could, I'm not sure. You probably know better than I, but because I'm not sure, but I think she was 63 or something like that when she passed away. But you know, you can never know with someone like her as to what she might have continued to do if she had the chance. She might have gotten involved in very different kinds of things, from what little I know about her, because I think she cared about, you know, she cared about UNICEF and United Nations, and she was already on that ball game. She might have become a diplomat. Who knows, you know?
Right, right. And, yeah, she could have been an ambassador for something else and maybe behind the scenes of in the entertainment industry to some degree. But, George, wait, where can everybody get the book?
What a great ambassador she – I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, no, you're right. What a great ambassador she would be in regard to anything she would do.
I mean, I would love her representing us in any way.
Right, right. Did you guys ever do a reunion?
Yes. Let's see. There was a 40th anniversary of West Side Story at Radio City Music Hall, which actually became a reunion. We all got there. We were all together. We were all in the theater together, and it was a reunion. Thanks to Turner Classic Movies, Robert Osborne was the host of all of that. He was, you know, he was wonderful. So yes, there was that reunion. But sometimes we have created our own reunions over time, because whenever we all can master, we've remained what I call a West Side Story family all this time. We all share this incredible experience, and we've bonded with each other in as a family. So whenever there's an opportunity, we all continue to get together still. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, I have a really stupid question for you. What did you enjoy more, doing the Broadway version or the production, I should say, or the actual film? I know it's a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question at all. I love them both. Let me try to answer that this way. Okay, I played Rip for a year and a half before the movie, and then I was given a leave of absence to go make the movie, and I was working on the movie for 8 months, and after that I had to go back into the play in London, and to play Rip, and when I was in the theater again that night, it felt so wonderful to be in the theater again. It was just it felt so wonderful. So both experiences were beautiful, both of them, because one when you're with an audience, that changes, that makes things feel feel differently. But so working on the film was great, because I think feeling is the main thing, because of the way it all felt, the way we all felt, the feeling we got from the people, the producers, from Jerry and so on. There was a very strong feeling about West Side Story, whether in the theater or in the film. It was just the piece itself kind of inspires that.
Well, that must have been pretty challenging for you, George. I mean, you were playing Riff in the movie and then playing Bernardo in the film and then Riff in the live production. How did you manage that at the same time? That must have been very, very challenging for you.
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't challenging. Let me tell you why.
It must have been fun.
It was absolute fun. Doing the play in London, playing with Ken LeRoy, the original Bernardo, was playing Bernardo opposite me for a year and a half. So I saw him without thinking about it. I was taking all that information in without trying to, but I saw him every night for a year and a half. So I was learning and not realizing that I was learning. So when I made the move, so to speak, to play Bernardo, I could see everything that he had done, and my own feelings along as well. But it was not a hard change to make at all. It was kind of a natural evolution, as it were, because I was so familiar with every part in the piece, having done it for a year and a half in the theater.
Wow! Well, it would have been challenging for me to try and do dual roles like that. I've got another stupid question, because if this is true or it happened, I don't recall it. Did they ever try to do a reboot of the film?
Try to do what, sorry?
Did they do a reboot of the film?
I didn't understand. A reverse?
Did they do it again, like within a different time, you know, with different...
Oh.
Like,
well,
did they do another version of it?
No, to my knowledge, of course, we've all heard and we all understand that Steven Spielberg has done a version of it, which it was supposed to be out December last year, but because of COVID, that didn't happen. My understanding is it will be out in December of this year, but there have been no other versions that I know about, no.
Did Spielberg reach out to anybody from the original cast, such as yourself, to have a cameo or anything?
No, there was nothing. I'll tell you, Rita Moreno is in it, and she has I don't know if it's a cameo, but it's a cameo, I suppose. And she plays her name. What is the name of the? I forgot the name of the character. And it makes such wonderful sense for her to be doing this, and she has done it. And she plays. I can't think of the character's name, but she's taking over. She's Doc's widow, so she's taking over the drugstore. So it made sense to have Rita come, you know, at this stage of the game, being not in her 20s anymore, to play an older character that actually really made sense. But I know Russ and I sometimes would say to Russ, sometimes sort of ask him, well, why shouldn't you play Doc? And, you know, questions like that. Because people just think, well, you could do Cam. But none of it ever made sense or wouldn't make sense. But it makes great sense with what Rita is doing in the Spielberg version.
Do you happen to know, George, if they are doing a more modern version, or are they going to stick to the script?
Well, I don't know anything that isn't already out there. What I seem to have heard, I don't even know where I've heard it, is they are keeping the time frame of the story in exactly at the same time frame as in the original.
Good.
So, but I would, but There's a wonderful young choreographer who's doing choreography, Justin Peck, I think is his name, and I've seen some of his work on YouTube, and I really love his work. So, and Tony Kushner evidently is doing the script. So, but my understanding is that it is basically the original piece with, I don't know how, movement will be different. I don't know how. It won't be updated so much as just a fresher aspect. Nobody wants to come and do West Side Story and just do a carbon copy. Everybody wants to be creative and help. I'm going on and on, but my understanding from what I've heard, and it isn't much, is that except that Rita is in it, that we're going to see, I expect, nothing hugely different, just from a different filmmaker.
Right. Well, I hope they don't ruin it. I mean, you know, remakes when you love something and it's it's Steven Spielberg, but when you take a classic and you try to redo it, it just, I don't know, sometimes it just never works out. You know what I mean? So, I don't know if I'd watch it again. Like, I don't know, A Star is Born with Lady Gaga. I like Lady Gaga a lot. But I'm sorry, I only know the Barbara Streisand, Chris Christopherson version and the Judy Garland version, and I just don't want to ruin that. I have not seen Star is Born with Lady Gaga and what's his name, Bradley Cooper.
Well,
I didn't see it because I didn't want to ruin what I loved.
Yeah, I'm with you. To me, the Judy Garland version, to me, is the classic one because of her extraordinary genius and gift, and I mean, look what she did. And even the Streisand one is good, but to me, Judy Garland takes the cake.
Well, I saw the Judy Garland one later in life. The Streisand one is the one that I grew up with, so that's the one that's the classic to me. But the Judy Garland one is obviously the classic, you know. So,
yes.
But the first one I saw was the Streisand one. I'm sorry, George. What did you say?
No, I was. It's because you say the Streisand version is the one you grew up with, and that's the key thing. The ones that we grow up with are the ones that we grow up with are the ones that are closest to us, and the ones we tend to like more. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, but I've definitely seen Judy Garland's version. But to me, it is a classic. However, to me, the Streisand Christopherson version is my classic, and I did not want Lady Gaga to ruin that for me. So, I mean, like I said, I like her, but I just couldn't see her. I don't know. And supposedly she did a great job. I didn't see it, but oh my goodness. Well, I do not want to keep you any longer, but where can everybody get your book, George?
I don't know about evidently bookstores. I just don't know what bookstores, but evidently it is available at Amazon. That's
okay,
the one
so
know about.
Everywhere online. How about your website as well? Is it there?
No, I'm not selling it on my website. It's on Amazon only.
And how about any photos in it? Some great photos from the cast or anything when you were doing the.
Well, there are quite a few pictures in the book, you know, to try to cover the different people I worked with and things I've worked on and so on. So there are quite a few pictures, I think, as I recall.
Are they your personal photos, George?
Yeah, basically they are. I think without exception, almost all of them are personal. I'm trying to answer your question correctly. I think there might be a couple that were not from my personal collection, but are part of it now.
Right. Wow. Oh, God, I got to go pick it up. I'm sure it's available everywhere online, and probably is it. I'm sure it's at Barnes & Noble, but we'll find out, and we'll let everybody know about it. So is there anything else you'd like folks to know before we hang up that about you that they can find out more information?
Well, listen, I had such a great time talking to you. Thank you. So
nothing
that comes to mind, but and by the way, I think it is available at Barnes & Noble as well, but I had forgotten that. But there's nothing you know, the conversations are funny. They can just keep going on and on and on as long as you have the time.
Right.
Our time is limited, and I had a great time talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, me too. Thank you. Oh my God. Like I said, what a pleasure and an honor. And I just can't believe I'm even speaking with you. But thank you so much. And I'm sure the book is doing well, and it's going to be doing even better as you keep doing more promotion. So we got to let everybody know that book is out there.
Yeah, it would be a real treat if it did well. But I never worry about things like that. Things, what case are us around, you know?
Yeah, it is what it is. The way it happens is the way it happens, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Excellent. Oh, my God. Sir, Mr. Chakiris, thank you so much. Everybody, George Chakiris, go check out his new book. It's called My West Side Story. It's his new book, and it's a memoir of his life and how West Side Story changed his life drastically and for the better. And not that it wasn't going good, right, George? But it really blew it up. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that your life wasn't going well, but when you got West Side Story, it really, really, really got even better. So.
Absolutely. Again, we were all so lucky to be part of it. That's the thing.
Exactly. Yep. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. You're making me want to go and watch it now. I think I may have to do that because I loved it. I haven't seen it in quite some time. Do you ever find yourself sitting down and watching it every once in a while or no?
No, the only time I've seen it a few times at events where there was a screening, so I had to sit through it. And I always thought, well, I'll leave 10 minutes into it. And I always stay. I never leave. It engrosses me. When I watch that last scene with Natalie, I mean, I know what's coming, but it gets me every time. I mean, it's such a beautiful scene and so beautifully played by her. It tears to my eyes. So it even though I know what's coming, it
still gets you.
It moves me. It moves me.
Well,
it's
me
a beautiful
too.
Story.
Yeah, me too. But you know, gee, over the crump you.
That's a great number. Yeah.
Yeah, they all are. All of them are like, boy, crazy boy. Got a rocket in your pocket. I'm sorry, George.
That is such a beautiful. Yeah. You know,
I'm sorry.
Who played Ice, who sang Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
So wonderful in that number. He just led that number so beautifully.
Right. Damn. I'm losing my mind. I'm tired. I'm overtired. George, thank you so much. What a pleasure, sir. I thank you. Stay well and good luck. And maybe we could talk again sometime.
That would be great. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time. It's been fun talking to you. It really has been.
Thank you. You too. Everybody, George Chakiris. Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you, George. George Chakiris, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you. Oh, boy. How nice is that? I'm telling you. Boy. I can't believe I'm just spoke to George Chakiris, and I mean, from one of my favorite films of all time, West Side Story. And again, I never saw it on Broadway, which again is shocking. My proximity to New York is literally 10, 15 minutes. So, and I guess I'm not a big playgoer. I don't know. I've seen Broadway shows, but I could maybe a handful, maybe 10 in my lifetime that I can recall. I don't know. It's such a hassle to go over to the city sometimes. So now's a good time to go, but there's no plays to see. But, you know, it's not crowded right now, so which is not a good thing. But, I mean, I worked in the city for years and dealing with tourists and trying to get somewhere on your lunch hour and everything, it gets to you a little bit after a while. But anyway, again, George Chakiris, everybody, played Bernardo in West Side Story. And he's been in a lot of other movies as well. We didn't really touch on too many of them because I just wanted to focus on West Side Story. I'm sorry if you guys wanted to hear about his other things. We did talk about a few. We talked about Oh God, Love You Didn't Do Right by Me, and Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, and it's not the name of the movie. It's Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, and the number that he was in was Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, and that's another great movie. I mean, there's so many. These are classics, folks, and you know, I don't have to tell you. So, I am excited. Again, tomorrow night, we have Jim Peterik on. Jim is the singer, songwriter. He's written so many songs. And I love Vehicle from the Ides of March. And when I first heard that, and when I saw who was singing it, I was very, very surprised. I honestly thought it was a black artist because the voice is so soulful. And when I saw that Jim was Caucasian, white, whatever. I mean, I was totally taken aback and surprised. And it's a great song. That's been in my head too, between the West Side Story numbers and Vehicle has been in my head. But I mean, he's written for, 38 Special, Survivor. He's also the co-founder and former member of Survivor. And he's written for Sammy Hagar. I mean, I'm going off the top of my head. I mean, he's written for so many people, but I'm your vehicle, baby. I love that song. And I love it. Need you. Thank God in heaven you know I'm wanted. I'm looking for my calendar. All right. So tomorrow, yes, we have April 1st, Jim Peterik. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. And we're going to take Easter off, folks. I'm sorry. I need a little break, so maybe I'll do my month end music mashup on Easter Sunday in the evening. I don't know, but we're also gonna be playing some of Jim Peterik's hits that he's written. So tomorrow night, so I can't wait for that. And on the 7th, we've got Deborah Wilson coming up. She was on Mad TV, and I love her. And the 11th, I'm not sure yet on the 11th. We gotta confirm that date. The 14th, we've got Dee Wallace. So I can't wait to speak with her. And then we've got, I didn't write their names down. Don't mind me. The calendar is not ready yet. It'll be ready this weekend. When you go to the site, you'll see. But these are the folks that I had their full names written down. Oh, on the 21st, we have a good, we're going to do a fundraiser for a comedian, Vinnie Marks. He's been caring for his wife, Jody, for quite some time. She's a comedian as well. And she, has cancer, and he's been caring for her for a very long time. And Vinny wound up getting cancer himself, and not good, folks, not good. So we are going to do a night of comedy. We're going to have a couple of comedians on, and we're going to give you their GoFundMe page, and hopefully we can get Vinny and Jody out. Their medical bills are phenomenal, between the two of them being sick and having cancer. So it'd be great if you guys could tune in and donate a little bit. Every little bit counts. So if you guys could help us out, it would be great. I get nothing. No, nothing is coming to Applause Radio Show. This is all for Vinnie Mark. He has his GoFundMe page. You'll hear about it. I'll do the promo for it. I'll let you guys know. So, excuse me. And then we have, on the 28th, Joyce Bilifond will be coming on. And, like I said, the calendar is not ready. It was penciled, but, I just have to, and we have other dates open that I need to speak to a few people, to get them in here. So, again, George Takiris, thank you so much. What a thrill, honor, pleasure. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Check out his new book, My West Side Story, a memoir about his life and how West Side Story changed his life dramatically. So thank you to him. Check out his book. Check out his jewelry. I can't wait to see that at georgetakiris.com. And his book, of course, is available everywhere online, Amazon, wherever you can buy books, and Barnes & Noble as well. Thanks to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and other stuff at Clifton, New Jersey. They are on our website. Syntech Productions, Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey. Take a break from Canada.org for Pete's sake. I hope you guys took advantage of that fundraiser and bid on those beautiful prizes that they had. We actually won something. It's a gift certificate to a jewelry store. So that's what we won. And Cloison Designs in New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC in New York, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, and H21 Hand Sanitizer. Again, thank you, George Shakiris. Tomorrow, Jim Peterik from Ides of March. Cannot wait. Everybody, please be kind to one another. Please, please, please stop this hate. We can't do it. We're destroying ourselves. Stop. Leave people alone. Take care. Good night. Be kind.